Kof Vov Malcheshvan, Wednesday the 3rd of November, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt, The Truth, the Whole Truth, and...
Good morning, everyone. What we're going to discuss this morning, Be'ezus Hashem, is it ever permitted to lie? Now, it's a bit of a loaded topic, and it's a difficult topic. At the same time, it's a very, very, very exciting topic. So let me try and present to you a couple of cases, and we'll see if we can analyze these cases afterwards. For example, somebody asked, we know that the minhag is, in general, people like to keep pregnancy under wraps, we like to keep it covered. Eina brocha motzei l'masha somim min ha'ayin. People like to keep things quiet. Now, often, they either can, they sort of work things out, wherever it might be, and people might decide, they think, oh, that person there, yeah, they're for sure pregnant. If they come up to you, all be clear, sorry. If somebody comes up to another person, a woman, and says, are you pregnant? I see you looking a little bit queasy, whatever it might be, are you pregnant? And she doesn't want to tell anybody. She doesn't want to tell, it's still within the first 3 months, she has the rights not to tell anybody. That's the minhag, it's not even a halacha. It's just the minhag. Is she allowed to say no? Because in that example, there's no other way out. It's a yes or no answer. So what are you supposed to do? Is she allowed to say no straight out, even though she is? Or do we say, you've got to tell the truth, and therefore you have to say yes? That's one example of a question that's not so simple. Let's say a shidduch. Often happens on shidduchim, you have questions that are very strong questions, and people will ask, you know, tell me about this person. So the initial conversation, always starts with, oh yes, he's a lovely boy, and she's a lovely girl, and all that. But when they ask a very direct question, does this person, now let's see, it depends on what the question might be. Let's say, does this person smoke? Does this person have diabetes? Or whatever the question might be, are you allowed to respond in the negative? And because, for example, you know this person has struggled for many, many years with the fact they can't get a shidduch. For example, age. They might say, this person, 28? Forget about it. Are you allowed to say she's 25? Because you want to give her a good chance. On the other hand, MS, you've got to tell the truth. There's a lot of very grey areas in halacha that are difficult to try and understand. Never mind what they ask you in the airport. Come to the airport and they say to you, so did you pack your bags? And you know that your aunt just gave you something. You've just been given something to take to England. You can't be bothered to go through the whole procedure. If I say, yes, I do have something, they'll say, okay, take it out. Am I allowed to just say, look, you know, I don't have anything? Because at the end of the day, they're asking me, do I have something dangerous? I don't have anything dangerous. I just have whatever it might be. I have a couple of letters and a baby grow. So am I allowed to say no or yes? It's a very, very difficult, sensitive topic. Let's try and analyze this from the point of view of halacha. Of course, it's connected to this week's sedra. That's why we're discussing it, because Parashas Toldos is the time to discuss the MS of MS Liakov. And of course, the underpinnings of this whole thing is, how do we understand the story of Yaakov and Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov taking the brochas? Yaakov is known as the symbol of Emes. Tis an Emes Yaakov, and we know Yaakov has to go through this mamish and ordeal. For maybe some people to do what Yaakov did wouldn't be so difficult, but with Yaakov, he has to struggle through this. How could it be that he actually says what he says? He says, "Anoichi Esav b'charecho, I am Esav." And he comes and takes the bracha in that way.
There's a comma.
Oh, now, I want to deal with that as well. The common understanding is that Rashi says on the pasuk, what does Rashi tell us? Anoichi Esav b'charecho. Rashi says, Anoichi stands for Anoichi hamevi lecha. Anoichi hamevi lecha. I have brought you. But Esav, hu b'charecho. Meaning Yaakov was playing some sort of trick here, right? Anoichi, I'm the one who's brought you the stuff, but Esav b'charecho. Now let me just ask you, b'metzius, what happened? Cannot be he walked in there and said, Anoichi, Esav b'charecho? It can't be he spoke in any sort of way that wasn't clear. Anoichi Esav b'charecho. He's not going to give the trick away. So,
And what's Rashi saying?
And furthermore, the difficulty with this Rashi,
does that mean I can lie?
No, if it's okay, if I can say, Anochi, I don't owe you £1,000. Or the opposite, I guess. You say, and then you say quietly, or whatever it might be, are you allowed to start doing that? That clearly can't be what Rashi means. Cannot be. It cannot be what Rashi means, because otherwise Rashi's giving us a heter to lie if you sort of can say it in a way that can be taken in two ways.
Rashi makes a comment.
Rashi says on the pasuk, Rashi says, Anochi equals Hameivilecha, I brought you. Esav, hu bukharecha, he's your bukhar. Right? It doesn't say Ani, that's where Rashi's getting it from the pasuk. But is Rashi telling you you can lie if you play this sort of game? Can't be. It cannot be. It cannot be that that was the heter. And I want to show you the pshat in that pasuk, the pshat in this whole sugya. There are stories throughout Shas of people doing things that are a little bit interesting, perhaps dubious, and we need to understand them. The Gemara, the Makara, of course, is the Gemara Yevam Estaf Samach Hey, where the Gemara tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu changes for the sake of Shalom. Kadosh Baruch Hu changes for the sake of Shalom, i.e., Sarah laughs, and she says, can I have a child at such an old age? And my husband is old. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeats it back to Avraham, he doesn't mention the fact that she has said that you, Avraham, are old. Why? Says the Gemara, different deus. Mutzah l'shanos b'nei shalom. There's one opinion in the Gemara, mitzvah l'shanos b'nei shalom. It's a mitzvah to change for the sake of shalom. It's impossible to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said something that was a sheker. It can't be. And again, by the way, all he did was withhold some of the information. And the Gemara still has to say that's called Lishanis Mubnei HaShalom. In other words, that's still called deviating. And yet, we cannot say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said something that was not Emes. Chaisomei Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emes. So how do we understand the concept of Mitzvah Lishanis Mubnei HaShalom? The normal understanding is, listen, okay, sometimes you've got to lie. Sometimes, for the sake of Shalom, you have to lie. Perhaps we can show a slightly different, slightly further mahalo. Huh?
He omitted something.
Oh, but the fact that the Gemara says mitzvah l'shamos m'asholom, the shamos needs to change m'asholom. Oh, now if you would have asked me, I would have said that's not called changing. He didn't say something. The Gemara still calls that changing.
That's changing. She said this, and this, but he only said he repeated that. You change what she said.
That's true. But the Gemara, the Gemara learns from here. It's a mitzvah. The shalos when I show him. I hear what you're saying. You're saying that the shalos is slightly different, but it's still called a shimri. According to your way of understanding, he's not doing anything. Now, let's give a couple of examples in Shas. There's several examples. Let's try and analyze them. Let's try and build a picture together. For example, we have in the Gemara tells us in Bar Metzia that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie with regards to three things. He's allowed to lie with regards to three things. One of them is for example, Mitzad Anova, if they ask you, Nu, do you know the whole of Shas? You're not supposed to say, you're not supposed to say I know the whole of Shas. You're supposed to say, whatever. Yeah, I know bits and bobs. I know here and there. You're allowed to deviate from the truth. A Talmud Chacham, in fact, should lie with regards to this. Now, and there's a couple of other examples the Gemara brings there. Another example is to do with snius. If somebody asks, you see from the Gemara there, if somebody asks a question that is the incorrect question to ask, it breaches the boundaries of snius, you are allowed to, once again, lie for that sake if they ask you a question that is beyond the personal. The Gemara also has examples of people lying for all interesting sort of situations. As the amazing Gemara in Yevamos, Gemara Yevamos Daf Samach Gimel says, Rav Hava Kamatzai Ledvisu, Rav's wife would give him a difficult time. When she would say, basically, make for me dish number one, she would make dish number two. And when she would say the other way around, when he would ask for dish number two, she would give dish number one. Okay. So when Chia, the son of Rav, when he realized what was going on, he decided he was going to get involved. And he came, every time his father said, yeah, I'll have the pea soup today, Q Chia came in and said, yeah, he'll have the carrot soup. He knew, he says to the mother, carrot soup, he gets the pea soup. Right. Wonderful. What a great Shalom Bias trick.
He didn't have
so the Gemara says, the Gemara says, you did okay. When he found out about Chia doing this event, he said, the Gemara says, Rav says, look, you did something that was okay, but you should know you shouldn't do this. Shouldn't do it on a regular basis. And the Gemara says, At leitavid hochi. You shouldn't do this. Shanem alimdu l'shonam daba sheker. Now we're going to have to see there's another thing called limdu l'shonam daba sheker. Which is, even when it's mutter to lie, there's something called limdu l'shonam daba sheker. If you get into a habit, it's going to be awesome. The famous Gemara in Ksuvah Daf Tezayin. The Gemara tells us, Keit samarag din lifnei hakala. What do you say to, in front of the kala? It says, Beis Shammai. Kala kamei shehi. You have to say it the way it is. Big machlekes what that means, kala kamei shehi. Beis Hillel says, no, you've got to say kala no'a v'chasudo. What a no'a v'chasudo kala. That's what you have to say. No'a v'chasudo. The Gemara says, Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, how can you say that? And if she's not, midrash sheker tirchak. And the Gemara continues and discusses this nekuda. The Rishonim try and defend. What is the pshat? The Gemara never answers this question on behalf of Beis Hillel. What is the answer? What's the answer? There's different mahalchim in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim hold, Tosfos Ridge, for example, hold that yes, you're allowed to say outright she is no'a v'chasuda, even though it's not true. That's what you're allowed to do. Mitzvah l'shanos, you're allowed to do this, and therefore it's totally mutter. Other Rishonim learn that. And this seems to be the way the Shulchan Aruch brings it down, that actually the reason why it's okay is because Nova Chasuda, she can be Nova Chasuda in many different ways. Good looking is one thing. She can have good maisim. Something about it is going to be Nova Chasuda. Something. No, it doesn't necessarily just mean beautiful in appearance. So there's something about a Shulia that is good, and therefore it's okay. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Siman Samachay, Sif Aleph. Mitzvah l'smah chasam v'kala v'rachid l'faneha v'loy ma she'i no'a v'chasuda perish min v'tisa chen v'chesed l'fanov afilu einu no'a. Even if she's not no'a, like it says in Esther one month on the Gemara, yeah, that she wasn't good looking but she had chen. So therefore something about this woman, there's going to be chen, and therefore it's okay. And that's how the Mepharshim explain as well. See there on the Gemara. Okay, but let's try and put these things together in an orderly fashion. Number one, when it comes to speech, it is not about the dictionary definition of the words that you are saying. The Gemara tells us in the Dorim Daf Chof Daled Amud Beis, if a person makes what's called Nidre Havoi, Nidre Havoi, if a person says, I promise you there are a million people there. Right? There was a million people. Ka'ilei Mitzrayim is the Lashon of the Gemara. Now, has he said something which is untrue? No. When you say there were a million people there last night, there were thousands, and you didn't give an accurate, that's clearly not a lie, because that is the way people speak.
He was exaggerating.
Exactly, he's exaggerating. And therefore, but people speak that way, and therefore, even though the technical definition of the words, you were not faithful to. There were not a million people there. But we know what a million people means. It means not the words, but that's the message. That's the message that you're giving. Which is an amazing insight, because number one, it's a kula, and number two, it's a chumrah. Let me explain. The kula is, you can say things like, you know, that it was just thousands of people were there. You know, where are you going? Oh, I'm traveling. It's a huge distance. You know, it's thousands of miles. Even though it's not thousands of miles, those types of things. That's the way people speak. That's okay. However, there's a chumrah here as well. If somebody knocks on your door, and it's that person you just don't have the time to speak to, you cannot speak to him. You're busy. But he's a very persistent individual, and he's not going to take no for an answer. The person opening the door knows this. It's your wife, it's your children, and they say, "Are they allowed?" They say, "Listen, I'm sorry, he's not home. He's not home. I'm sorry, he's not home." Now they say he's not home. When a person says he's not home, they mean he's not available. He's not home. Now this guy might think to himself, "You know what? I want to be from here. They said I'm not home, but technically I am home. So I'm quickly going to run outside, open the door, the back door, I'm going to run outside, and I'll stand outside the door, and therefore I will not be home, and I'll be Mekayim exactly the words of my wife or my son or my daughter. I have not broken the words of you are not home. That would be a sheker. Because it works both ways. When he said, I am not home, he was not asking you, what side of the door is your husband? He's not saying, where are you positioned? He's saying, are you available? For you to go out of the door would actually probably be problematic. Why? Because you're ki'ilu being matir for yourself in your head. You're saying that the reason why this is okay is because I'm avoiding the technical definition of the words. But it's not about the technical definition of the words. It's about what is he actually asking. So, not home, of course it's better to say not available. But for you to think, oh, not home, right, good, let's get out of this by quickly jumping to the other side of the house, that is incorrect, because that's not what he's asking. It's not about the technical definition of the words. That's the common understanding of what it means to say the truth. It's not true. What is he actually asking? Are you available? You're not available. You're not available, you're not available. But don't run outside the door and defend yourself. And many other examples like this as well, where if somebody asks you a question, avoiding the technicalities of the thing don't necessarily make it mutter. And to the contrary, it could be a kuna as well. If I say, excuse me, do you have a pen? And you're running for the bus, and you don't have time to say, actually, I do have a pen, but it's in my pocket, and I'm not available now to give it to you because I'm in a hurry. By the time you've said that, you've missed the bus. When they say, do you have a pen, they mean, do you have a pen available? So if you say no, you're not lying, do you have a pen? He's saying, do you have a pen to give me? So it works both ways. It's not necessarily about the technical definition of the words, but rather what is he asking? That's number one. Number two. It's very strange. It's mutar l'shanos mipnei hasholem. That we learn from the pasuk. Where did the Gemara get all these ideas? You can mutar l'shanos mipnei anova. In your learning, mutar l'shanos mipnei tznius. We don't find elsewhere that it says, you know, you can, I don't know, do other averus, so to speak, for the sake of shalom. You don't say, well, you know, Robin Hood, I go steal from this guy, I want to sake of shalom, I need to make, you know, peace, I need to do this. Mutar l'shaker l'shanos. With Aaron HaKohen, we bring down, everybody knows the famous Maamar Chazal. Aaron HaKohen used to go around to people and used to say, I know Reuven, you don't get on with Shimon because you're upset with each other, but really, Reuven feels really bad about what he did. And then he goes to Shimon and says, you should know Shimon, he also feels so bad about what happened. Aaron used to say, it's brought down in Chazal. And the Torah says, Asa Aaron was Oyev Shalom v'Reidev Shalom. He would make Shalom between people. Amazingly, the Gemara quotes about that Teras Emes al Hashenoi, that it speaks about the Emes of Aaron. What's the pshat? Emes is about doing the right thing. Let's describe it the way that Emes Liakov puts it in this week's Parsha. Emes Liakov. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in this week's Parsha says, in understanding the brachas, taking of the brachas, he says, let's say, for example, Reuven wants to kill Shimon. He's wild. He is wild. He's chasing Shimon, and Shimon is running for his life. Shimon knocks on your door, says, listen, you've got to help me. Reuven he's completely lost it. He's gone crazy, and he's going to kill me. Of course, you take him in, you say, look, I'll lock the door, don't worry. You hide him, whatever you can do. Reuven comes banging on your door. You open the door, it's Reuven. Or perhaps better not to open the door, but you open the door, and it's Reuven. He says, is Shimon here? Ooh, now one second, he's asked me a question, but I can't lie. If you say, yes, he's here, you've done a sheker. You've performed a sheker, a falsehood. You might have told the definition of the truth, you might have said that, but you've obviously done something which is incorrect. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the MS in that case, the MS is to say, no, he's not here. The MS is to say, why? Because MS doesn't just mean the definition of what you're saying, but rather doing that which is correct. And therefore it becomes the MS.
The right thing.
It's the right thing to do, and therefore the correct the MS answer is to say, no, he's not here. And therefore, if we take this idea, again, it's a very delicate idea, because give this idea in the hands of somebody in the wrong hands, you'll say, oh, good, exactly. Every time I've got something which, an end that I want to meet, so, you know, I know that's the MS, and if the only way to get there is with a slight sheker, so then that's going to be the MS. So firstly, Rabbi Yaakov says, you have to understand, this was Rivka, who Baruch HaKadosh had told Yaakov Avinu, this is what you've got to do. So already we can see, this is not everyday occurrences. But it could be, if the MS is a certain way, then you're allowed to say something which doesn't technically abide by the actual definition of truth in the English word, but is emes. And therefore the place can say, if for example somebody says to you, this, back to this case of a girl, a woman, are you pregnant? And she doesn't want to say, even though it's mitzad minhag, but she's allowed to have that. She doesn't have to. There's no way out. She can get. She can't get any. Sorry. She cannot get out of this in any other way. It's a yes-no answer, and therefore she has the right to tznius. She's allowed to say no. You're allowed to say no. It's none of the other person's business. The emes is to do the right thing. Anova, even for a Talmud Chacham, the emes is to be an onov. Okay. However, this needs qualification. The qualification is, that doesn't mean that any time, even when there's a heter to actually say something which is not 100% true, you have to be very careful. It says the Orchis Tzadikim, Ubuchol Eilu She'etiru Chachamim L'Shanois. Whenever they say that you're allowed to lie, L'Shanois, let's say, Im Yochalasis Shalai Yashake, if you can do it in a way that you don't have to do that, obviously, Hutov Yaisim Yimashi Yashake. It's better to do that than actually say something false. K'gayim Shalim Lo, if they ask you, Yodea Atom Masechta Plonis, do you know Masechta Sukkah? Yosh, if you should answer, you think I know that Masechta? V'im yuchal asalik hashoyel b'inyan shlei shaker who tov ma'id. If you can get rid of the questioner without lying, of course that's the best thing. So even when it's mutter to do it, it's still better to avoid the actual words that are not necessarily true. Why? Because we are so fixed on emes. Even when it's mutter, because there's a bigger emes going on here, you've still got to be as careful as you can to try and stick to the emes as much as possible. If it's not possible, it's a yes-no answer, then that's it. But otherwise you have to stick to the emes as much as possible. And often people do this all the time. You know, people on Shidduchim, they want to know, you know, did they get engaged? Are they engaged yet? You know, whatever. Are you engaged? People don't want to know these things. You don't have to know this yet. If the only way of getting rid of the person, of course, ideally you try and push them off in a different way. But if the only way is something which says no, then that's what you have to say. Therefore, that's the pshat in Rashi. Beautiful pshat in Rashi on this week's parsha. When Yaakov Avinu comes in and he says, Anoichi, Esav Becherecha, it's not mutter because of Anoichi, Esav Becherecha. That's not the heter. The heter is because Rivka said, Baruch HaKadosh, this is what you got to do, this is the MS, this is what has to happen. Yaakov Avinu is teaching us, even when you have to deviate from the truth because it's a mitzvah, you have to do it. Nonetheless, it should be difficult. You should still try and do it in a way that could be taken in different ways. Anoichi Esav Becherecha. Of course he came in and said, Anoichi Esav Becherecha. But Rashi's teaching us that even when there's an element here, or you have to lie, but it's got to be done with a difficulty, and in a way that can be taken in two different terms. You can see it in a different light. Based on this idea that you can deviate for the sake of Shalom, there's many examples of this in the Gemara that we explain. An interesting story, actually. Interesting story with the father of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I heard this story from Yitzchak Berkowitz, and he said like this. The father of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he had a case where a husband and a wife came in front of him, and they were having an argument. The husband said, he's given the get. He's paid up, doesn't want any of it. She says, it's absolutely not true, no get has been given. He still owes me the get, the money, everything. So the Reb Shlomo Zalman's father said like this, said, listen, tell me, you know, in when you get a get, there's different mahalchim in the way it works. When you get married, you walk around seven times. But with a get, in the Beis Din, there's two different mahalchim. Some bote dinim make you walk around, the color walk around in the other direction three times. And some bote dinim make you walk around seven times. What do they do in your Beis Din? You said that you gave the get. What did they do? Was it three or seven? Because I know different bote dinim. So he thought for a while, he said, I think it was three. He said, yeah, you think it was three? You haven't paid her anything. He made it up completely. There's no such halacha, there's no such minhag. Nobody walks around in the other direction. Nobody does three, nobody does seven, there's no such thing. He made it up because he wanted to try and get the truth out of the person. How could he do it? Because he knew that this was going to be a mahalach that he could actually somehow extract the truth. And therefore, in that particular situation, it would be allowed. However, just in the 2 minutes we have remaining, there are several exceptions, even when it's a mitzvah l'shanas, now shalom, for the sake of shalom bias, for the sake of sneers, for the sake of anova, or whatever it might be, there are several exceptions. Number one, children. Children, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us, Lailem initially nuk it even, the Avin l'chamidi v'la yayivle. You shouldn't even tell a child you're going to give him something if you don't give it to him. And the Gemara tells us, by the way, and that's the pshat in that story with Kia and Rav. Rav told him, you shouldn't do this. There's two aspects here. Number one is the fact, if you're a child, you shouldn't do it. Why? Because children cannot differentiate. Oh, it's mutter in this case, because there's an overarching emes. It's a novel, it's a minyan shalom. They don't understand that. They just think you just said something not true, and that's all they learn. So in front of children, you're not allowed to do it. Even when there's a heter, you can't do it in front of children. Another exception is if it's going to become habit, which again is that Gemara with Chia. He said, I don't want you to do this because it's lindu l'shonim l'davar sheker. It's a one-off you can do, but to do this on a constant basis, asa, because it becomes habit, and you're teaching yourself to lie, even though it's mutter in this particular case. Number three, divrei Torah, amazing. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama daf Lamed Zayin that the Gemara tells us, if a shah shel Yisrael gores an ox of a Kanani, you're potter. And the Gemara tells us the story that the Romans had locked up the Chachamim and told them to translate and explain the whole Torah. And Chazal tell us that they wrote this halacha the way it is. Says the Yam Shel Shleima, what on earth were they thinking? Do they not know that it's Sakonas Nefashas? If you write, if a Jewish ox gores a non-Jewish ox, the equivalent, you're potter. If you write that, you're in trouble. Says the Yam Shel Shleima, unbelievably. Therefore, instead of, if you ever think that you could lie with regards to a halacha, even at Pekuach Nefesh, it's asa. Unbelievable Yam Shel Shleima. Even Pekuach Nefesh, meaning, even if they say, to lie about a halacha, after he said this was Pekuach Nefesh, they locked them up in a room, and they said, right, tell us the whole Torah, translate it, explain it to us, and they said the halacha the way it is, they knew they were going to be in trouble, still they said the halacha the way it is. You cannot deviate from a halacha one iota, even he says that Pekuach Nefesh. Now, whether we pass in that way, I'm not going to say, I don't know, but I'm just saying, the fact is there, you've got to be very careful in situations of kiruv, whatever it might be. You can't say, well, if he finds out about this halacha, oh, he's not going to be frum, and therefore I'm not going to say it. If you've got to say it, you've got to say it. The Torah is the way it is.
Change the Torah when they wrote the Torah.
You can never, right, you can never change anything. And therefore, we've run out of time, let's just try and sum up. And therefore when it comes to things like pregnancy or shidduch, it depends, by the way, the question of the shidduch. Very, very loaded question. Are they asking you, is the person a lively person? If they're not, then, you're supposed to say they're not. But if it's something like, for example, diabetes, severe diabetes, on the one hand, they've got a right to know. On the other hand, this person's having a very hard time getting a shidduch because everybody keeps rejecting them. The general consensus is, the poskim say, you hide the information for a number of dates, a number of shidduchim, a number of meetings, and then, because in order to give that person a chance, then once they've got to know the person, now they can make a level-headed decision. You do have to definitely tell them at some stage, for sure, but only at a later stage so that it's a serious decision. And if in that case, you'll be allowed to say, no, she doesn't have diabetes, at the beginning, in order to give her a chance to become, to get into the shidduch. Okay, those are a couple of exceptions, and many more to continue another time, perhaps.